From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield, this is Inside Eagle Nation, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.
Strike three called, it is well with my soul at J.I. Clement Stadium.
Your all-access look into Eagle Athletics is Inside Eagle Nation.
Toogie with one, a three, and a win it! Got it! Game over!
Let's go to the Learfield studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. A special edition this week as Georgia Southern men's basketball and football starting the overlap. Danny Reed is still making his way back from Jacksonville, Florida, so a very, very special guest as Terry Harvin joining me on this week's edition. Terry, appreciate you joining us.
I've hijacked the mic.
You have.
I did. Danny Reed, you're gone, brother. I've taken over. I've locked the doors. I'm controlling the broadcast booth. The airwaves are mine.
This almost takes you back to your talk show days.
It really does. I was going to do a Good Morning Vietnam, you know, the old Robin Williams because it's Veterans Day. But I'm not Robin Williams, so I can't do that.
Okay.
But anyway, Danny, miss you, brother.
But as always, this edition of Inside Eagle Nation is brought to you by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels.
I appreciate them. I really do. But I want to know, have they been an advertiser the whole time?
They have, the entire year.
Okay, so you just didn't bring them on for me.
No, it wasn't just for
Knowing
you.
Knowing that I'm full of crap, you didn't just, like, start off with them.
No, I didn't.
I appreciate you, Arcola.
It just happened
to work out. It did work out, and I appreciate you, Arcola, more than you know.
Georgia Southern football taking on the Trojans of Troy this past weekend, a 49-28 loss at the hands of Troy. We'll dive into that one a little bit later on, but a couple of other matchups to get to you. Georgia Southern men's soccer will head to the Sunbelt Conference Tournament up in Boone, North Carolina. And who thought it was a good idea to put a conference tournament in Boone, North Carolina
in
the middle of November?
Yeah, not smart, no.
But they will face off against number 5 Georgia State. That will be a rematch of the tournament championship last year. That was here in Statesboro. That'll be a 4 o'clock kickoff on Wednesday for Georgia Southern men's soccer. So good luck to head coach John Murphy and company. Georgia Southern women's soccer finished up their season in Foley, Alabama, as they fell to the number 1 seed and eventual tournament champion in South Alabama in the Sunbelt Conference tournament. But congratulations to head coach Josh Moffitt. Was named the interim head coach at the beginning of the season after a little bit of a turnover, and then it was a couple of weeks ago we talked about it, named full-time head coach. And so you've got an entire off season as the full-time head coach, and only bright things along the horizon.
Well, you're right. And as an interim, that means he's been here before, so there is somewhat some stability there from a recruiting standpoint. The players know who he is, so congratulations to him.
Georgia Southern Rifle got the victory over Wofford on Saturday. They will look ahead to Friday and Saturday as they head up to Cambridge, Massachusetts. You ever been to Cambridge?
You know, no. I've been to Boston. I was trying to think if I made it to Cambridge. No. I did go to Boston, though.
They will face off against MIT and Sunny Plattsburgh on Friday and Saturday.
Well, there you go, MIT. I can't even spell MIT, much less go there.
Georgia Southern Volleyball had 2 matches inside Hanner Fieldhouse this past weekend. On Friday, fell to Appalachian State 3-1 against the Mountaineers. And then on Saturday, used it as senior night, even though it was the second-to-last home match for Georgia Southern Volleyball against Coastal. Fell 3-1, but honoring 4 seniors for Georgia Southern Volleyball. The final home match will come up on Tuesday as they face off against Georgia State 6:30, the first serve for Georgia Southern Volleyball. Final 2 games against Georgia State. One home, that one on Tuesday. One up in Atlanta, that coming up in a couple of days.
Oh, wow. Got to beat them. What about women's golf? Did you talk about them last week?
We did.
They won up in Mercer. They did pretty good.
Was up at the Idle Hour Collegiate up in Macon.
Yeah, it's a great golf course. I think they finished 3rd, right?
You a big golfer?
I look good on a golf course.
Always.
I mean, I look good, but I don't play well. My drives, if you know anything about military and golf, are like Scud missiles. You're too young. Do you remember Scud missiles, the Iraq War?
I've heard you talk about
Okay,
it, yeah.
Scud missiles were those missiles that they would shoot them, and they knew where they were shooting them from, but they had no idea where they were going. That's kind of like my drive. I mean, it really is. I'm entertaining on a golf course.
I can imagine.
Think Caddyshack. I mean, really, it's really, you know, I'm all right.
See, I'm still in the whole baseball player mode of I'm just trying to knock the crap out of the ball.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work out.
It really doesn't when it comes to golf. But again, I like the clothes. I look good when I'm out there. I'm entertaining. Typically, you know, when you play a four-person scramble, there's an A, B, C, D player. I'm typically around the GH area. You know what I mean? They just bypass D, and golf is my handicap. So, I mean, that's kind of where they keep it. Leonard Bevel told me once when I was playing with him, he said, you know, Terry.
Leonard's a pretty good golfer.
Oh, yeah. Those guys golf all the time. That's all they do. You know, Larry Mays, Mike Cummings, they just play golf. That's it. But anyway, I'm out there playing with them, and they said, you know, you really need to take a break from golf for about 2 weeks. And then quit for good. That's what happened. So anyway, but no, I still play. I'm out there. I'm good with a pitching wedge. I'm good with an 8-iron. I'm good with a putter. I'm good driving a golf cart. That's it.
Georgia Southern men's golf and women's golf are off for the winter. They will pick back up in a couple of weeks as they start the backstretch and start heading towards Sun Belt Conference Tournament in the March area. But Georgia Southern women's basketball started off their season at Furman, fell to the Paladins 78-63. That was a game that Georgia Southern found themselves down by 23 points with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. And then with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, a big three by the freshman Jaden Hamilton from the Augusta area cut the Paladin lead to 6. And so it was a big comeback for Georgia Southern. You saw a lot of energy from this team, and really you've heard about the energy for head coach Anita Howard since she got here.
Yeah, I mean, she does. She's very enthusiastic on the court. She's a great recruiter. She relates well to the players, and the fact that they were down early and were able to climb back in and to get within 6 says they didn't give up, and that's big. And her assistant coaches are great. I know Coretta Brown very well. Coretta, a great high school ball player from the area, Southeast Bullock High School, Yellow Jackets. She was fantastic, went on to have a stellar career at the University of North Carolina. She was a Lady Tar Heels. And it's good to have her back here. She knows the area well. But again, you hit it around the head. They were down early. And you're not talking about a bad team. Furman is a very good basketball program, men's and women's team. So, and then they cut it back to 6. So that's encouraging. And again, a freshman stepping up, getting it close. That's good.
You and I were talking about it with Paul Gillespie and Laney Claxton last night after you got to host Inside Georgia Southern Football with head coach Chad Lunsford.
That was fun, by the way.
You have fun with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that.
Still love the jacket.
Look out, Danny. I may have to take over. I'm just saying, I really enjoyed that. Eagle Creek was fun. You like my sports coat?
I do.
Yeah, it was a Surf Shop special.
You got the blue Brockmire.
It was Brockmire, if y'all don't know. What channel was that on, by the way? I don't remember either.
IFC.
Really?
Yes.
Brockmire. I love Brockmire, but my jacket was blue. His was red?
Yes.
Yeah, mine was blue. I can't remember the name brand, but it's a pretty good one. But somewhere.
But anyway, we were talking about last night after you hosted the show that when Coretta Brown was playing at Southeast Bullock,
amazing,
you were doing PA for them.
I did.
You
I
did
used
PA
to, yeah.
here for Georgia Southern,
yeah,
and then
I
switched
did.
Over to Southeast Bullock.
I did. I did PA for Georgia Southern back when Mike Curry was playing and Jeff Sanders was playing here, and the toilet paper was being thrown out. We were playing in the TAC back then. And I enjoyed PA. In fact, I remember, you know, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the W.S. Hanner Fieldhouse for tonight's NCAA basketball matchup featuring XYZ. I used to love it.
You still got it.
I still got it. I could do it. But then I loved the starting lineups. And anyway, but my job at the time, I had to kind of give it up. And my wife, Lori, was teaching at Southeast Bullock where she graduated. And Coach Phil Oliver coached women's basketball. And John Page was the men's basketball coach there, and they asked me to do PA. And I said, only if I can do it the way I do it, which is obnoxious. And I had a fantastic time. And Coretta Brown was the star basketball player for the women's team, and she practiced with the boys most of the time. She could play for the boys and the girls' team. She was that good. She was amazing to watch. And anyway, went on, like I said, to have a great career at the University of North Carolina. And it's awesome that we have her back here. I think we're set up pretty good for the future of women's basketball.
If Future looking bright as the next thing along the horizon. Georgia Southern women's basketball will have the home opener against the Kennesaw State Owls on Sunday, a 2 p.m. tip-off after Georgia Southern takes on ULM on Saturday. Georgia Southern men's basketball had a couple of games this past week. Had the Reinhardt Eagles in the home opener, 109-55 the victory. We will get to a little bit more of that game in the early part of the ball game as the toilet paper started flying from the crowd. Danny's going to ask you about that in just a little bit. But Georgia Southern got the victory 109-55 against the NAIA Reinhardt Eagles and then went down to UNF Arena in Jacksonville to take on the Ospreys of North Florida. Fell 80-77. You had a last-second three go off the right side by Calvin Wishart, but a 80-77 loss at the hands of UNF. So Georgia Southern basketball 1-2 on the season. They will look ahead to Friday. They will host the Radford Highlanders here in Hanner Fieldhouse, a 7 o'clock tip-off on Friday evening.
But UNF's a good squad.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like it was some patsy. They're a good team. Beatable, yes. Could we have beat them? Should we have beat them? Perhaps. You're going to talk to Coach Byington, and he'll say, yeah, most definitely. But Radford is another one. I mean, these guys have postseason experience.
Radford is a team that Georgia Southern went to last year. This is the back half of a home-and-home. And Danny was talking about when he got back, that is one of the best basketball atmospheres
really? That
you are going to see.
It's a good school up that way. I mean, it is, and be good. Make sure you tune in and listen to that. Danny calls a good ball game.
7 o'clock the tip-off for Georgia Southern against Radford. 6:30 the countdown to tip-off, as Danny and I both will have the call on that one.
Really?
So we'll have men's basketball on Friday, Georgia Southern against ULM on Saturday, and then on Sunday it'll be myself and Theo Howard calling Georgia Southern women's basketball.
There you go. There you go. Whatever happened to the days of the doubleheaders? We had women's basketball and men's basketball together. I used to love that.
Yeah.
When did that stop?
It was last year was the first year you go to a mirror schedule. And this year the schedule is really different because the men's had approved a 20-game conference schedule. The women's hadn't passed that yet. And then when Commissioner Keith Gill took over for the Sun Belt Conference, kind of put a hold on everything as far as scheduling changes were concerned, but the men's basketball side had already passed it. And so you have a 20-game conference schedule for Georgia Southern men's basketball. Women's basketball will play an 18-game conference schedule. So there's a couple of days where there are doubleheaders. Georgia Southern and Georgia State will match up in a doubleheader for men's and women's basketball here at Hanner Fieldhouse.
That's perfect.
Coming up in a couple of months. And there's a couple of days, I believe there's two each, if I'm not mistaken, that I'll be with Georgia Southern women's basketball preceding another men's game. And I think it's like when we're at UT Arlington, Georgia Southern and UTA will play women's, and then after that it'll be like Troy and UTA. So it'll be two different teams. It's a crazy schedule, and I'm not even going to try to figure it out.
Maybe they'll get that worked out, because that was always a good time to me, because you get a doubleheader basketball.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't make it early enough for the women's game, you got to see the second half.
Yeah.
Right? And it just seemed to involve more fans. So that's a good thing. Now, that schedule gets revamped kind of when, right before March Madness, kind of in January, February, doesn't it?
Yeah, you start to see some of the meetings take play, or the conversation starts about February, March, and then everything kind of gets voted on throughout the summer when they go down for Sun Belt Conference meetings. But it'll get worked out by the powers that are a lot higher than I am.
Well, that's basketball for you. It gets a little crazy sometimes. Hey, you know, before I forget it, last night what we failed to do was wish baseball Coach Rodney Hennen a happy birthday.
There was another birthday.
Who's?
That we forgot about, too.
Who?
Brandy Klaus, head athletic trainer for Georgia Southern football.
You gotta be kidding me. Brandy, I'm sorry. I must have a concussion. There you go, Brandy. That's it. And I need your assistance. I already got a bad foot. You see me walking around in this boot and all. That's not even a story I can tell on podcast. But anyway, it's happy birthday, Brandy, and happy birthday, Coach Hennen. That's fantastic.
Two of the best people and two of the longest tenured people around Georgia Southern Athletics.
They really are. Larry Mays has got a long time here.
Larry
now.
Mays has got a long time.
Keith Rauten. Yep. Keith Rauten. I mean,
Roger Inman.
Oh, well, Roger's like, what, 120 now?
Yeah, 118? Probably.
Yeah, at least.
I still love the story of your first trip down to with Georgia Southern football, and he wouldn't give you a jersey.
No, he wouldn't, and I can't say what all he said even on podcasts. It's a quick story. Coach Russell told me it was on a Thursday that I was dressing out for the Florida game, and I grew up going to all the Gator games since 1986. Kerwin Bell was the quarterback for Florida. And so he called me over and told me, Harvo, that's what he called me, go up and see Rod. Go call your mom and daddy and tell them you're dressing out for the game. Make sure you get them on the list for tickets. And go see Roger and get a jersey. So I ran. Probably the last time I've ever really ran was from the practice fields, which is on the other side of the beautiful Eagle Creek, and ran all the way up to Hanner, where the equipment room was at the time, and went straight to Roger and told him what Coach Russell told me, and he didn't believe me. Now, he said it differently, but again, and this is a family show. A
few other adjectives.
Yeah, it's a family show. Can't do that. So it is what it is.
Georgia Southern football again falling to the Trojans of Troy over at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 49-28, the final score of that ball game. As we dive into that, you and I were talking with a couple of people over at Eagle Creek last night that towards the tail end of the first half, Georgia Southern defense holds Troy to a couple of field goals, and it was 27-14 at the half. And you really thought that those two drives of holding Troy to field goals could prove to be huge at the end of the ball game.
Well, most definitely, because Southern, our record's not very good when losing at half anyway. And unfortunately, it held up Saturday. But by keeping Troy from scoring touchdowns and just holding them to three, it kept us within two scores. And Danny and I talked about it quite a bit, and you and I talked about it at half, that could come back to help us quite a bit. And then you go into third quarter, you were hoping we would score coming out, and we didn't, but nor did Troy. So we were scoreless in the third quarter, both teams. Now we're driving in the third quarter, so we score early in the fourth quarter. Now we're within six, and you're thinking, okay, if we can get one stop, if we can get a stop, we're going to win this game. We didn't get the stop.
The biggest thing, you go back to that score that cut it to six there in the fourth quarter. It was the pass from Shy Words to Darion Anderson, and you touched on it throughout the broadcast that you had three options on that play. Duh, triple option, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You had the jet toss, you had Shy bootleg and running it, and then you had the pass. Yeah, you had talked about two of the three would have resulted in first downs, and the third one resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah, either one. I liked all of them. It was a great play call by DeBess, and it was basically was asking for more of Kennedy on the perimeter because of his speed. And you wanted to look for Marshall, the linebacker. Where was he? And then run the opposite direction, basically, because he was just crazy. I called him old leather helmet kind of player, right?
Yeah.
Who could just run through a wall and go from sideline to sideline. Wasn't a tall guy, not a big guy, not a traditional linebacker kind of size. But he was just a ball player. Mike West. He reminds me of Mike West kind of player. Daryl Hendricks and some of those guys. Bart Hughes, some of those guys. So the initial play was a toss sweep to Kennedy to the left, which would have resulted in a first down. And the second thing, what he did was fake the toss sweep and bootlegged it. And Shy could have kept it and ran and picked up the first down and then some. But then the pass in the back of the end zone was wide open. So I liked them all. Of course, I liked the touchdown better.
And I don't know, we'd have to talk to Coach DeBess and Coach Lunsford about it, but I don't know if it was a designed run-pass option or if it was a designed bootleg and then throw it. But either way, that's what you got to like seeing from this offense.
You know, RPO has become the catchphrase, right?
Yeah.
It really has been. And it started really at Utah. The true RPO started at Utah. And I think it was Alex Smith was the quarterback and Urban Meyer was the coach. And he talks about the true RPO. And it actually was developed by mistake because they basically ran run and shoot kind of thing. And so here's Alex Smith is rolling out. It's a design run. But the problem is the receiver didn't block. The receiver ran a route instead of blocking. So here's Alex Smith coming around, and there's the defender that the receiver was supposed to block right there because he wasn't blocked. But the receiver ran a route. Alex Smith looked up, saw him, and dished the ball off to him. And Urban Meyer tells a story. He called back up. He goes, whatever that play was, run it again. He didn't, you know, I don't know what that play was. Coach, that wasn't a play. Run it again. Run it again. So that's kind of how the RPO. Well, that's what I feel about Shy. He's got the ability to roll out where he can run. And it may offset some of our offensive line issues. I mean, there's no secret on that, right? We've had some issues on the line because we've had injuries. We've lost players. I mean, it is what it is. So to see Shy, he's proven he can throw the ball, but to have that RPO, right? And that play kind of gave us that a little bit. Shai could have easily kept it. If Darion wasn't open, he would have gone keep it, right? So it kind of was that.
I never knew that story.
About Urban Meyer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go look it up. I didn't make it up. I make up a lot of stuff, but this one I didn't. I mean, you know, I will. Takala will tell you. I'll make up stuff and make it sound like it's legit. But
yeah, I'd believe you.
Yeah, it's not. But this particular case, it's true. It's that's kind of where Urban Meyer kind of did that thing at Utah.
It's been talked about a lot around this program of the victory against Appalachian State 2 weeks ago kind of put Georgia Southern up on a high of Sun Belt Conference Championship was right in your grasp. You're in the driver's seat. After falling to Troy, you get kind of knocked back down to reality. You've been in a lot of locker rooms over your years. What does that do to a locker room?
Kind of reminds me of the Yogi Berra thing. We say deja vu all over again,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Last year, wasn't that the same?
Yeah.
I mean, it was. Let's be real. Well, hopefully what happened at Troy will catapult the team this week against a very good ULM team. I mean, now, ULM, the Warhawks, do not run the up-tempo offense that Troy does. I mean, they do some, but it's not anywhere near
right.
What Troy does. So hopefully that will help us a good bit. But it's a very good team, and this quarterback is more mobile than Barker was at Troy. I mean, Barker had, what, 3 knee surgeries?
Yeah.
And was still able to run the ball. This guy that we're going to face on Saturday is a true run-pass threat. I mean, so when the seas part, this guy can take off and run with it and hurt you. He had over 100 yards against Georgia State. Threw for what, 2-something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he can throw the ball, and he can run. So we're going to have a little spy there. We're going to have to put some pressure on him. You know, with Barker, we never made him uncomfortable. One time we might have hit his arm, but we never made him uncomfortable. And that was tough. That's a tough thing to do, to give somebody, as good as he is, as accurate as he is, all day in the pocket. Now, we tried. We just didn't get to him. Now, you got to remember, this is a veteran offensive line that they had come back.
Yeah.
They had everybody back but the center. The backup center was the starting center this year, and he was pretty good.
Yeah.
They had some big, what I call them, buffet busters, 6'4", 300-pounders.
Still love that line.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's my thing because I love a good buffet. I mean, I just do. It's just got all the food. I can just pick and choose what
got
I want.
Got all the fixing.
I digress. Anyway, But again, much like Troy had 10 different receivers they throw to. This team's got, you know, what, 8, 7 different receivers he's going to dish the ball off to. So he's got one main guy. I think he had 5 catches against Georgia State for 100 and some odd yards, including a long of 45. So he's got to. You're going to see a lot of slants. You're going to see the flats. That's what, so linebackers need stuff. We need to get something on the guy on the line of scrimmage. But they're going to see what Troy did against us and try to do the same.
As you talked about on the Inside Georgia Southern Football Edition last night on Facebook Live, it's time to put Troy to bed, put it behind you, and look ahead to ULM. We will do that on our final segment of Inside Eagle Nation, but first, we pause for a moment for Eagle Tales.
Time now for Eagle Tales with Danny Reed and Terry Harvin.
All right, Harville, I know the toilet paper tradition started about the time that you were doing public address at Hanner. Can you fill us in a little bit more about the tradition of throwing TP on the court after the first points?
I got to tell you, Danny, that was the craziest time. And doing PA was fantastic. I absolutely loved doing it. I actually wanted to do it in the pros. I always wanted to do like an NBA game, the starting lineups kind of thing. You know, now for your starting lineups, first at guard, you know, that kind of thing. And the echo, you know, it's just awesome. But the student section and the students would come out to that ball game, all the games that year. I mean, Jeff Sanders was unbelievable, ended up being drafted by the Bulls. You had Mike Curry. You had so many great ball players. Coach Kern's legendary coach, and Backus, the legendary assistant coach, was there. But we had a lot of fans show up to the ball games, especially the students. Students, you had to get there early to get a seat. And they loved throwing the toilet paper out onto the court. And everybody looked forward to it. We'd get a technical foul afterwards, and it was crazy. I don't know how it actually got started. I wish I could remember. I may have to, you know, I bet Keith Rowden knows because he was here back then. And Bucky, I'm sure Dr. Wagner will remember. He was the AD. It was so much fun, though, I got to tell you. It was great times, basketball. You went from football to basketball, and then, of course, the great baseball teams of Jack Stallings. So the students were always, just like they are now, very involved. But it was fun. It was fun to see all that toilet paper come flying out. And I was on the floor at the time, much like the PA is now. But and then all of a sudden you see this toilet paper come flying over your head. And it was all white. It was crazy. There's a picture of it somewhere around here. It's unbelievable.
Did you see the video that we took from our courtside?
I did. I was very impressed. Seriously, it kind of brought back that memory, and that's what you need. The players thrive off of it. They're okay with it. They'll give up a technical. To have fans, so many schools would love to have what we have. You know, we talked about football at Troy, for instance. It was their homecoming. They were bragging about it. There weren't 22,000 people there, not even close.
There weren't 22,000 in the city of Troy.
No, no. But they had. But they have a good alumni base. Make no mistake about it. Great facilities. But the fans don't. They don't. We have ball games where people are turning out. These basketball games, I mean, it's a fun environment. If you're listening to this and you have not been to a basketball game lately, seriously, do yourself, come to a basketball game. It's a fun experience from the time, from the PA announcers doing the starting lineups throughout the entire ball game. It is energetic. It is fun. It's the way it's supposed to be. They do, I mean, kudos to game ops and marketing, to Learfield and what you guys do. It is awesome.
Inside Eagle Nation is presented, as always, by Knox Pest Control. It's been serving Eagle Nation in Alabama, Florida, and Georgia for generations. With decades of experience, no one knows pests and termites like Knox Pest Control. Visit them online at knoxpestcontrol.com to find service near you. Knox knocks them out. I hear they have a pretty good radio spot, too.
Sean Knox is a great Georgia Southern alum and a grad, and I appreciate them being a sponsor of Georgia Southern Athletics and Georgia Southern. Sean's very engaged, by the way, in College of Business. He's on their board with COBA and Dr. Abenson, and they just do good work.
You look ahead to Georgia Southern against the ULM Warhawks. Before we dive into the X's and O's for Georgia Southern against ULM, you've got to start with it being Ag Day at Georgia Southern. And it's presented by Case IH Tidewater, also presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, the Georgia Cotton Commission, the Georgia Peanut Commission, our good friends at Morris Bank, and Bullock Telephone as well. But a great day. It's been a couple of years since we started Ag Day at Georgia Southern, but it's a huge part to what you do in Southeast Georgia.
Agriculture, it's a Captain Obvious moment, right? It's huge in the state of Georgia, and we're very fortunate. The Agricultural Commissioner here is Gary Black. He does a great job and really started this whole program called Georgia Grown, where they're highlighting locally grown produce. They're even incorporating, you know, all the like craft beers, everything is involved in this. And anywhere across the state of Georgia, you can go and see the importance of agriculture. And now with the start of logistics really taking off, the Georgia Ports Authority and what's going on, getting our goods shipped across the United States. We've always been known for peanuts and peaches and everything else, right? But and Vidalia is right down the road, yeah. Right? Georgia Farm Bureau is right there in Macon's where their corporate office is. Certainly appreciate them, which I'm a very good customer of Georgia Farm Bureau. I have three daughters, and they're all driving, and you're killing me with my car insurance. But anyway, I appreciate you. No, I'm just being serious. But anyway, it's huge. It's huge here. And all you have to do is drive around Bullock County, and you can see. From cotton, I mean, the bank here, which is now Synovus, used to be called Sea Island Bank. Sea Island Bank was named after Sea Island Cotton. Sea Island Cotton was a certain kind of a blue tint to a cotton that was only grown in this part of the state, in this part of the country. So, agriculture's huge, and I'm glad that they're involved in the Georgia Southern football. So many fans are going to be here. So, folks, if you can get out and support your local products. I mean, at the end of the day, whether it's you know, peanuts, tobacco, no matter what it is, corn, the Vidalia onions. There's so many things going on around here, and support your local farmers, your local goods, and Georgia Grown. Georgia Grown is huge.
Going to see a lot of the agriculture aspects around Georgia Southern Athletics and Georgia Southern football this weekend. Going to have a couple of members of the Georgia Cotton Commission, the Georgia Peanut Commission, Case IH, a part of the tailgate show as well.
Can you give me some boiled peanuts? Because I can kill some boiled peanuts.
I remember last year they brought us a huge box of little packs of Georgia peanuts, and I went through those like butter.
I used to get the little packets of peanuts. They used to give them to us all the time. Mm-hmm. In fact, the alumni office had peanuts with the thing on there. But I love me some boiled peanuts, and I love roasted peanuts at baseball games. I don't know why, just at baseball games, but if for some reason when I'm at a baseball game, I want a big bag of roasted peanuts. So that's great. And again, the whole state of Georgia has done so well with all the different produce and what we have going on in the state. It's just, and you have so many independent grocers as well. And that's what's really cool. You see the IGAs everywhere and that sort of thing. But that's what it's all about. Again, supporting your state and the local goods, Georgia grown. It's huge. If you don't know much about it, look it up. You'll be glad you did.
You'll get to hear a lot of it on Ag Day coming up this weekend, but it's Georgia Southern against ULM looking to bounce back against the Warhawk team, 4-5 overall, 3-2 in Sunbelt Conference play after they knocked off Georgia State this past weekend, and that was kind of an eye-opener. You had seen Georgia State really kind of rattling there for a little while, and then ULM comes in. They're in Monroe at Malone Stadium, and ULM just won the shootout.
They did win a shootout, and now Ellington did go out. He did get hurt, the quarterback from Georgia State. I think they're calling about a knee injury or something like that. Well, he'll probably be out the rest of the year, I would think. They're tossing around, and he's a good one. So you kind of want to think you don't want to bring him back too early, and you're going to risk next year. But they obviously fared well in the second half without him because they had over 400 yards, 417 yards of rushing Georgia State did against ULM. And they threw for 122. Georgia State threw to 13 different receivers. And you're thinking, wow, that's some great numbers. Yeah, but they lost the game. Why? Because ULM with Caleb Evans, the quarterback there, he threw for 291 yards, 24 of 32, three touchdowns. He did throw an interception, but the guy rushed for 110 yards, almost 7 yards per carry. And then Josh Johnson, the running back, he eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark with 168 yards himself. And he averaged 8.4 yards per carry. I mean, my goodness. This is a team that's well-balanced, threw to eight different receivers. They like Zach Jackson. He's the guy, right? Five catches for 91 yards, but 46 was on one catch. So he distributes the ball. This is a very, very good team.
You and I were talking about it the last couple of days, that Caleb Evans is one of the guys that kind of scares you when you look at his stats throughout the year. He may be one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks that Georgia Southern will see all year, and he's been named to one of the secondary All-Sunbelt Conference teams. And you look at that and really, he is the best guy at doing both. There are better passers. There are better rushers in the league. But I think he may be the best at the balance of both.
That's fair. I think that's very fair. Outside the Sun Belt, I mean, obviously the LSU kid.
Right.
Probably is going to win the Heisman, but I'd say he's pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's all right.
Zach Thomas from App State, I think he's really good. He's a good runner when he wants to be. He can throw the ball. He struggled in that ball game, but the weather probably had something to do with it. Plus, the pressure we put on him had a lot to do with it as well. I like the kid from University of Louisiana. I like his poise in the pocket. He can roll out. He doesn't get flustered. You put pressure on him. He's a left-hander. He still gets rid of it. He doesn't seem to get flustered. Like that kid. But this I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Barker kid. I mean, he's not going to kill you running the ball, even though he did us. But he sits back in the pocket. He can feel the pressure from the backside, step up and deliver a pass. He seems to know where all his options are. This kid, Caleb Evans, yeah, he's going to look once, twice, three, take off running.
Yeah.
I mean, because he knows he can. He's a running back who can also throw. That's dangerous. That's scary. It's really scary.
Coach Lunsford talked about how balanced this team is all week long, but you look at the numbers as a whole, 447 yards a game on the ground, 216 a game, 232 through the air, and you look at it and you kind of wonder how this team is 4-5, but a big problem is their defense.
Oh, but that was the same thing we said about Troy,
yeah.
Remember? And then they bring out the whole fire ants approach when it comes to their defense, right? Well, you go into the Troy game and you're looking at it and you look at the paper and you go, this team's 3-5?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, nobody has stopped their offense. So we just got to score with them and maybe steal a possession or two. It's starting to shape up where ULM might be the same but more possession. Not as fast-paced. Not a run-and-gun kind of thing. But we got to steal a possession or two. We got to hope they make a mistake. Put some pressure on him, but we got to keep the spy up the middle, and they got to make the tackle because he can break a tackle.
You talked about Josh Johnson earlier, the running back for ULM. Goes over 1,000 yards on the season against Georgia State this past week. And he's a guy that, coming into the season, not a whole lot of people were talking about him. You heard about Darrington Evans at Appalachian State. You heard about different guys from around the league. But Josh Johnson wasn't really a name that you heard coming into the season. But he has really kind of used that chip on his shoulder and had a pretty good season.
Oh, you're hearing about him now. That's for sure. I mean, I'm looking at several of their possessions, for instance. Their first possession right out of the gate was 9 plays, 77 yards. Johnson had a lot to do with that. Caleb ended up, you know, Evans, the quarterback, with a 16-yard run to score, ate up 3 minutes of the clock, 3 minutes and 27 seconds. They come back with a long pass, 5 plays, 94 yards, so they can score quickly. Okay, then they come back on their third series, and you've got Johnson again, 10-yard run to score, but it was a 9 play, 75 yards, ate up 3 minutes and 26 seconds in the clock, and it was all Johnson throughout that. The guy comes back here in the third quarter, and it was 3 plays and 82 yards. Why? Because he had a 30-yard run. He takes off with it. So they score 14 points in the fourth quarter. They start the game with 14 in the first, 10 in the second, 7 in the third, and then 14 in the fourth. The Johnson kid's legit. He's going to be able to – he can get you a few yards, but then he can leave you in his dust too.
Georgia Southern with 3 games left on the regular season. ULM this weekend. The next weekend you've got Arkansas State, and then Georgia State comes to Allen E. Paulson Stadium to wrap up the regular season. What's the biggest thing that you look for from this team these next 3?
Well, we can't say anymore it's too early in the season, right?
Yeah.
Next man up, right? I know we've been hurt on the offensive line, but you're not new anymore. Now, we've seen improvement with the snaps. Remember early in the season, we had some issues with snaps. Knock on wood. Y'all heard that I knocked on wood. You know, I know you can't see me because it's radio and all, but I did knock on the wood. At least, well, it's particle wood.
Yeah, fake wood, but it's wood.
You get the idea is what I'm saying.
Right.
We haven't had any bad snaps for the most part. Maybe a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, but nothing like what we saw early in the season. So you're not new anymore. There's no more rookies, so to speak, true freshmen, so to speak. You got to step up. And the problem that we have is every one of these games that we play left, we can certainly win. We can certainly lose. And every one of the teams that we're playing are in similar position as us. You need a win for a bowl game. You need a win just in case somebody slips up on the East or the West to get in the championship game. Everybody's playing for something. Of course, we're Georgia Southern, so we're kind of always a target. Let's be real. We really are. We owe some people, like ULM, and there are some people that owe us, like Arkansas State, right?
Yeah.
And then Georgia State and Georgia Southern, just no love or respect for either one.
No.
I mean, there's no love for App State, but there's respect between the two programs. There's neither when it comes to Georgia State, and that's the last game of the year. So you got to win this one to become bowl eligible, and you go, okay, got that behind us. Now we need to win another one because we're hoping App State can trip up. Because if Troy plays against App and ULL like they played against us, there could be a slip-up.
Oh, yeah. One thing, as you kind of go throughout the Sun Belt, we haven't really done on the podcast very much is really look at the Sun Belt from a 100,000-foot view. You saw Louisiana at the first part of our Sun Belt Conference late. You saw them defeat Georgia Southern, and some people really didn't hear from them since. But this is a Louisiana team that has really been rolling.
They're legit. I mean, if you look back at the Georgia Southern game, that score could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
They had problems with the punt return, right? We were able to score off of it. ULL's line, I keep calling them ULL, I apologize. They go by the University of Louisiana, right? The Ragin' Cajuns. Their offensive line was good.
Yeah.
They blew us off the ball and opened up some major holes. You know, I gave the man crush to the quarterback, right? He did a good job. He's not a big cat, right? But he can roll out. He's got a good arm. He's very accurate. He doesn't get flustered. He can run with it when he has to. He doesn't have to a whole lot. Delivers his passes. They do a good job. Their defense stepped up big. I thought they would beat App, and I still don't know how they lost to App, except for App smacked him in the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, right in the cross, right in the beginning, they held him to 7 points. I don't know how they held him to 7, but they did. They just smacked him, right? And that was the difference. I think if those two teams play again, I might give the edge to ULL.
Based on
what I saw at App. Now, I know that App's beat North Carolina and they beat South Carolina. I get that and all that. But I was just very, very impressed with the playing of UL, the coaching from UL, that I think they're kind of on a mission on the West. So, yeah, they're a very good – they're a good club, and but there's a lot of parity in the conference. I say similar to the parity when you have actually the SEC is a little down this year in some aspects.
Yeah.
But any team can beat another one. I mean, Texas State beat Georgia State.
Yeah.
Up until last week, I mean Georgia State, I don't get it. I mean, they just had – they faltered. I mean, they faltered against ULM. They were 6-2. Yeah. They're a good team. Nobody thought Georgia State would be what they are right now.
No. Good Lord, no.
Coastal Carolina beat Kansas and then turn around and falters, right? South Alabama's a little bit struggling, but even they can knock off somebody. Texas State's showing some improvement, right?
You look at the standings. For the Eastern Division, you've got Appalachian State at the top at 4-1, Georgia State and Georgia Southern tied at 3-2, Troy at 2-3, Coastal Carolina at 1-4. In the Western Division, Louisiana at the top at 4-1, Arkansas State and ULM tied at 3-2, Texas State in the fourth spot at 2-3, and then South Alabama bringing up the rear at 0-5. But it's like you say, there's so much parity in this league. I mean, really and truly, there's a lot of things that have to go right, but Texas State isn't out of the Western Division.
No, I mean, there's not. I don't see them winning it. I don't see ULM slipping up. I really don't.
No.
I don't, unless they have an injury of some sort, like to the quarterback. I don't see them slipping up. I see them playing for the Western Division championship side of it. The East, a lot of things have to go our way or whoever's way, right? But App State clearly in the driver's seat, especially after our loss last week to Troy. So the likelihood of them slipping up, they have Georgia State. Ellington's out. I don't know if that'll happen. Troy has a good enough team. But it depends on if their defense shows up again. Offense, there's nobody's going to stop them. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
You look, too, and really started bringing this up last week. You have three teams right now in the Sun Belt Conference, in Appalachian State, Georgia State, and Louisiana, who all have 6 wins or more. Yeah. You've got three teams already bowl eligible. You have two teams that are 1 win away from bowl eligibility, and three teams that are 2 wins away from bowl eligibility. So there's a chance that there's a couple Sun Belt teams left out that are bowl eligible that don't go to a bowl game.
Who wants it more? And that's why these last 3-4 games are so huge, right? Who wants it more? ULM wants the same thing we want. The next week we got what? Ark State? They want the same thing we want. Georgia State? Well, you know, doesn't matter. We want to beat each other, right? So everybody's trying to get to at least bowl eligible. Maybe be in position to get lucky if App falters, right? If we're bowl eligible, well, there was a team last year, ULM.
Yeah.
ULM was bowl eligible and didn't get invited to a bowl. Why? The fan base. I mean, that's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, we travel well, right? They can all report these crazy stats as far as the attendance numbers, but that's based on what they sold tickets. You and I both know. We can see the games. Everybody knows. The bowl representatives go to the games. They know there wasn't 22,000 people at Troy. They know that. Now, Troy travels well for the most part. They have a good fan base. ULM, unfortunately, has struggled with, you know, some of these teams have struggled with getting fans to the game. Georgia Southern's been very fortunate. We, for the most part, unless I'm totally wrong here, we're pretty close to the numbers. What you see is what you get.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, how everybody hyped up the crowd that was going to be at Troy, and it wasn't necessarily the dominant crowd that you expected. And every time we're walking through the press box before the game, we see these representatives from the Cure Bowl.
Yeah.
See Alan Gooch at a lot of the Georgia Southern games. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of people from the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Obviously, the conference champion goes there. But you see the 5 bowl tie-ins that the Sun Belt Conference has. You see these people around, and so they're not looking at what the attendance number is on the box sheet. They're looking how many butts are in the seats when they come to the game.
They're doing the eye test, right?
Yeah.
And the good thing about it for Georgia Southern is when they're on their away games, they're doing the eye test, and they're looking across and seeing the blue and white and seeing how many Georgia Southern fans are at those games and how many are tailgating. and they're going to come. We have a very good history of that, thankfully. Just ask Mobile, right?
Yeah.
Ask Montgomery.
Yeah, Montgomery was not ready for Eagle Nation.
No, and they want us back. So Montgomery in particular, you know they're going to ask for us to come back. That's good for us. We just got to get there. Now, the team's got to do their part, right? Get bowl eligible. We haven't been to Orlando yet. You know they want us down there, right? So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I hope, personally, that we're playing New Orleans.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because that means we won the Sun Belt, right?
Yeah, and it would kind of make Russ mad because we're in the Saints' home stadium.
Yeah, he doesn't like the Saints,
no,
does he?
He's not a fan.
That's so funny. You know, it's funny with him and Ryan Chambers both hating the Saints. And did I ever tell you the Chris Blair story on that?
No.
Oh, yeah. So Chris got the LSU job, and then the Saints job was starting to open up. And there was a thought, they reached out, that, Chris, would you be interested in doing both? And I asked Ryan and Russ both, because they hate the Saints.
Yes.
Huge Falcons fans. With a passion. I said, this is your boy. It's Chris Blair. If Chris were to ever become the voice of the Saints, would you then? Nope. They wouldn't do it. No matter what, they would not do it. Wouldn't do it. And I said, not even for Chris. Nope. Can't do it. Cannot do it.
We've talked about it before. If Georgia Southern were to get to the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, what Russ would do if he had to be on the sidelines of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Isn't that great?
I would do it for Georgia Southern just because I love Georgia Southern that much. He's like, but there's a lot of thoughts that would go through my mind.
Yeah, the Falcons fans weren't overly thrilled when they named the dome Mercedes-Benz again.
No.
Right? It was just hilarious. But, yeah, these guys are Ryan Chambers, of course, old broadcaster for Georgia Southern and my old partner, and then Russ Brown, of course. And they die-hard Falcons fans, and they got to hate the Saints. So, and I of course, I pick on him a little bit. I got to needle it. Poke
you
the bear.
Poke the bear a little bit.
Of course. I always talk about how great of a quarterback Drew Brees is, which he is.
But again, Georgia Southern, 3 o'clock kickoff between the Eagles and ULM at Allen E. Paulson Stadium on Ag Day, presented by Case IH. Also presented in part by Georgia Farm Bureau, Georgia Cotton Commission, Georgia Peanut Commission, Morris Bank, and Bullock Telephone. But again, with Georgia Southern basketball and football overlap, Danny Reed on the road with Georgia Southern basketball, making his way back to Statesboro for this weekend. Friday, you've got Georgia Southern men's hoops against Radford. Saturday, Georgia Southern football against ULM. And then Sunday, Georgia Southern women's basketball against the Kennesaw State Owls. We'll be on the air at 1 o'clock with the Eagle Tailgate Show. Terry, Frank, Russ, and myself will have the Eagle Tailgate, and then Danny, Terry, and Russ will have the call for this ball
game. You give some boiled peanuts?
I'll try. Appreciate you joining us.
Peanut Commission will be there. I did it for peanuts.
I'm sure you did.
He's paying me peanuts, and I'll take Georgia-grown peanuts any day of the week.
What's your favorite kind of boiled peanut?
Oh, gosh. I do like the Cajun. My wife does a really good job, too. My mom did, too. I do like, I like them good and salty. It's good stuff. I do. I do like a Cajun in there. You know, a bay leaf, actually, sometimes is pretty good in there. Or you put some old bay in there, that's pretty good. But just sometimes some good salty peanuts.
Appreciate you joining us this week.
Yeah, I got you, didn't I?
You did.
I appreciate you. Take care, my friend. And thanks for letting me hang out, Danny. I'll let you have your chair back. So this was a good time, but you can have it back.
Until next week, for Terry Harvin, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.